Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly one-hour expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times in which we live, because the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Come back. Good evening, welcome to The Watchman on this day, and I just want to thank everybody who makes it a point to listen to the program, to send email. In case you're listening for the first time and you haven't heard, you can contact me through the email address ugandanwatchman@gmail.com, or you can go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ugandanwatchman. Now, just if you want to get it without getting lost, just start a new web address and put www.facebook.com/ugandanwatchman, and you get us, or you can send an email to you, ugandanwatchman@gmail.com. So many people have asked questions and are seeking clarification on things on which they haven't understood. But there is more. Now we actually managed to compress all the messages that have been preached here, and now we're actually ready to start rolling them out to people who are on our mailing list, who have asked to receive the recorded messages through that forum on email. And quite a number of people have sent me emails requesting to be on the mailing list. And if you haven't yet, you can do that. Send an email to ugandanwatchman@gmail.com and ask to be included on the mailing list for recorded programs of this show. And we shall be sending them to you through email, because we managed to compress them to the point where we can send them through that channel. Now that process is complete, so it's going to be easier for everybody who is interested to get those messages. Now today I intend to continue with the message on come out of Babylon, come out of them, my people, Babylon, talking about the Babylonian system of wealth, compared to the godly system. And those two are governed by different people. The Babylonian system is governed by the devil. I told you last time that he doesn't wish any Christian any luck. So if you're out there trying to get prosperous in the way that the people of the world want to get prosperous, it's a system that does not favor you at all. And ultimately, people end up doing everything that the people of the world do to get rich, because they belong to the wrong system. And even when they get there, they don't quite get the abundance they are supposed to get, because the Babylonian system is not based on abundance. It's based on scarcity. Even the people who seem to have a lot of money are always scared that they are either going to lose it, or they always seem not to have any money. And, you know, even if everybody sees they have money, but somehow they don't ever see themselves as they have money. I remember I was speaking to one of the richest men in this city, somebody who owns buildings across town and everything. And, he was conversing with a number of people, and he was conversing with his friends and speaking about another rich Indian whom he said, you know, that guy is lucky for him. He can no longer become poor. And there I was thinking that, now what about you? You have so much money, but you're still thinking about becoming poor. And that's how the system is. And even probably the other Indian he's talking of is also scared that maybe one day he will be poor. Because the devil does not give anything without fear. The system of the devil is governed by fear. Even those who have are fearing to lose it. And even those who have it and probably have too much to lose, at some stage they start fearing other things. They are fearing death. They are fearing what there can't be any peace in that system, because it's governed by the devil. Now, by contrast, Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it." The word sorrow, actually, picked from the Hebrew, can also mean adds no toil, not hard labor to get it. It's not, I'm not saying you be lazy, but the point is, you don't have to toil, you know, 14 hours a day to get rich. That's not how God wants it. If you are toiling that much, then when are you ever going to have time to spend time with God? For God, of course, the time you spend with him is more important. So it makes sense that God wants you to get the wealth easier without too much toil, so that you can have time to do more important things, like to evangelize, to spend time with God, to pray, to read the Bible, to spend time with your family. And that's exactly how he wants it. That's why he says he adds no sorrow or no toil to it. Now, today I'm talking about the levels of sowing. We've spoken about sowing, we've spoken about ground, how important the ground is. If you haven't heard those things, if you haven't heard the last two messages, or even any one of the last two messages, make sure to get them, because the things I'm speaking about, you're not going to get them in so many other places. Actually, I don't know any place you're going to get them apart from here, because they were revealed to me by God, and through hard lessons, because I went through all the pain of sowing in dead ground and seeing nothing happening. I experienced it and I said, God, what is wrong? I am a sower. I am not seeing the increase you promised. What is the problem? Until God revealed to me, the problem is that you have not understood the principle of the ground, which I taught about in the two lessons ago. Now, if you haven't heard that, make sure to get that recording and listen to it, as well as the one of last week, rather, as well as the one for today. Now, levels of sowing. Of course, the first one would be the tithe. It's important that everybody tithes, because it is the foundation of every form of sowing, is a tithe. What is a tithe? Now, a tithe is not what you've made it to believe, of what people have made you believe it is. Now, listen to this. A tithe, your tithe is your connection. Number one is your statement of faith and a statement of connection to God's system out of the Babylonian system. When you give a tithe, you're telling God that I trust you by obedience to you. I trust that everything that I hope to achieve financially, I am entrusting it to you. Because now this tithe is that connection, okay? The tithe is that connection that I will, you know, remember Jacob crossing the Jordan with nothing but a stick, but a staff. And he says, he made a covenant with the Lord that if you bless me where I'm going, I'll give a tithe of everything that I get. What you're saying is, God, I am going with nothing but a stick, a staff. And yet, I want you to look after me. And I want you to bless me and I want you to multiply me. And when he crossed the Jordan again, he said, I crossed this place with nothing but a staff. Behold, now I am two companies. He had wealth. He had, wives, children, and, you know, flocks and everything. And he remembered the day he passed that place with nothing and promised to God that I will tithe everything that you give me. Now, that is the foundation of every form of giving, tithing. But first of all, I want to explain to you what tithe is. Now, listen to this, because it might not be what you think. Now, the tithe of the New Testament is different from the tithe of the Old Testament. And by the Old Testament, I mean the Law Testament. Okay? The Law Covenant. I mean the Old Covenant of Moses, of the Law. The tithe of the New Testament is different. The tithe of the New Testament is that of Abraham to Melchizedek. That is the tithe of the New Testament. And it is a tithe of what God has given you. Okay? God, the old covenant, that is the covenant of the law, was based on you do good, God gives you good. You do bad, you get bad. You do good, you get good. That is the law covenant. Now, when you look at Abraham and Melchizedek, Melchizedek first blessed Abraham, then Abraham gave Melchizedek a tithe. You look at it, look at the order. Jacob had nothing to tithe, because he could not tithe of his stick. He only had a stick. But he said, God, when you bless me, I'll give a tithe of what I have, of what you give me. Okay? Now, a tithe, of course, you're going to say, I have nothing. You have something. What you have, God has given you. You eat, you drink. So you have something. But the point is, here it's important that in the all of the new covenant, God does first and you respond to that. Okay? That is a key thing. The old covenant says there are a number of things which kind of change. Because here, God says, you are indebted. I mean, you cannot be in debt to God. Because God has done everything. He did everything for you through Christ Jesus. Now, what you receive from God is just, and what you do for God is supposed to be in appreciation for what he has already done for you. That is the whole essence of the new covenant. Now, the tithe of the new covenant is that of Abraham. Abraham went to fight against five kings. And he went and captured all the property that had been stolen when those kings went and raided the regions of Sodom and Gomorrah, and where his nephew Lot was staying, and they took everything that belonged to Lot. And when they came and told Abraham, he armed 300 men who were in his household and went and fought and rescued those things. Now when he returned from there, he met Melchizedek, who was two things. Number one, a high priest. Number two, a king. That's why the Bible says, Christ is a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. He's not just a priest, he's a king also. Okay? Now, because in the covenant of Moses, priests were not kings. Okay? Kings were different, priests were different. Now, Jesus combines those offices. He's the high priest of the new covenant, but he's the king. the King of Kings. So that's what Melchizedek was. The Bible calls him the King of Salem. Now the word Salem also means Shalom. Shalom means peace, as everybody knows. Now Abraham is coming from fighting a war and gets the substance that he had picked from there and gives a tithe to the King of Peace, to the King of Salem, who was Melchizedek. Now, that is in that's in Genesis chapter 14. Now you see, in the very next chapter, chapter 15, God appears to Abraham and tells him that you will die in peace and you will be gathered to your fathers at a good old age. Abraham never had to fight again all his life because he had given a tithe to the King of Peace, the King of Shalom, who was Melchizedek. Now, who is that? A picture of Christ. Now, what does that mean? The tithe of the New Testament is a connection to a grace that is in somebody. It is not, it's a connection to an upper grace. You have to see an upper grace in somebody, something operating in the life of somebody. Then you tithe to them as a way of connecting to what they have, what you see in them. Okay? That is the tithe. It's not a church tax. You know, because it's been preached almost like it's a church tax, you know, bring your tithe because we need this, we need that. And then it's like you're paying for a membership for a club. You know, the way you go to a health club and, you know, you pay membership. And so that's how somehow tithe has been preached. And because of that, people give it out of religion and not out of faith. So it does not benefit them because they don't know the principle behind it. So the tithe is not a church tax, number one. Number two, your tithe is a seed. It's a seed. Remember that. It's a seed. It is not... It is supposed to yield fruit. Every seed which is planted is supposed to yield some fruit or some harvest. So it is a connection to an upper grace that you desire to have in your life. That's what Abraham did. He tithed into the King of Peace and God told him, you'll die in peace. You will not have, he did not have to fight a war thereafter. Yet he went and found Abimelech and all those people and God fought the wars for him. Abimelech took his wife. He was not going to get back his wife if God had not intervened. But because he had tithed into the King of Peace, God fought all those wars for Abraham and he died in peace. Okay? Number two, the new covenant tithe is not the tithe of Malachi or Leviticus. Bring your tithe and your offering. You know Malachi 3, that there may be food in my house. That is not the interpretation for the new covenant tithe. Even if that is the law tithe, the Mosaic law tithe, that there may be food in my house. My house, of course, means my temple. That's what it actually is, that there will be food in my temple, in the temple of God. Okay? Number three, it's a seed. Your tithe is a seed. It must be put in good ground to yield fruit. Many people say that for me, I give in good grace. I give in sincerity. If it is, if the pastor is, you know, let's say a mufere and maybe totally misuses money and you know those things, that is between him and God. Kasta for me I gave out of sincerity and in good faith. Okay, now that sounds good to the mind, logically sound, but it is biblically wrong. Now, you get a seed, any seed, you get some beans and go and plant them on the road and tell me if your sincerity is going to make them grow. You can't be that stupid. A farmer knows that if I plant seed here, it is not going to grow, even if I am sincere. No amount of sincerity is going to make seed grow on concrete. It is not going to happen. So rather than trying to twist God's word, just follow the principles that are in the Bible. If you give in good spirit and you put in wrong ground, you will not get anything. Because the principles are in the Bible and God expects you to know his word. Okay? So that is wrong. You cannot plant a seed on the road and expect that because you're sincere, it is going to grow. It will not grow. Number four, the Malachi tithe, which says, bring your tithe and your offering that there may be food in my house. I told you the house means the temple. Okay? Now, what is the temple in the New Testament? What is the version of the temple in the New Testament? Not the church. The church is not a temple. The temple is a person. Okay? What does 1 Corinthians 16:19 say? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Has it ever called a church a temple? No. A church is not a temple. A temple is a person. Your body, yourself, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. So the replacement for a temple in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, is a person, not a church. Okay? That is according to scripture. If you have another interpretation, I can guarantee you it's not scripture. Number five, the New Testament tithe, like I said, is Abraham to Melchizedek. It fetches a grace, positive or negative, that is on the recipient of the tithe. I told you because Melchizedek was high priest and king of Salem, of Shalom, in Genesis 14:18-20, it says how Abraham gave his tithe. In 15, it says God appears to Abraham and tells him, you shall die in peace and at a good old age. Abraham fetched the grace that was on Melchizedek for peace. So he did not have to fight a war ever again. Now, God gives people graces. You see somebody has a grace for something, a higher ministry, and you decide to tithe there. Every tithe of yours is a connection to what that person has. Good or bad. Okay? Good or bad. Remember that. You will connect whether it is good or bad. Don't say, I want to get the good and I will leave the bad. No. You will get all. Good or bad. Now, you've heard it being said that tithe in your church. Okay? Tithe in your church. Where do you tithe? You tithe in your church. And that sounds good. Sounds good. You understand? But I tried that. These are some of the hard lessons that I learned. Now, you'll either listen to me or you'll continue with your religion. Because what I'm telling you is actually biblical, scriptural. I tithed in my church. I followed that religion for so many years. I tithed in the church. I was under a pastor who is a businessman. And, you know, who saw money in a very non-biblical way. You know, he saw money as, you know, like a real businessman. So, and not that he lacked integrity with handling, but you know, his perception of money was real, was actually carnal, not spiritual. And yet money is spiritual. So I knew the church that I tithed in never tithed. I knew that. I knew that for a fact. And I even doubt if the pastor himself tithed at all. But I continued tithing there faithfully because according to the religion that I followed, it is my church and I have to tithe in my church. And besides, the pastor was generally a good guy. But he did not know the principles of sowing and reaping. He did not practice them. Whether he knew them is another matter. He did not practice them. So after some time, I actually noticed that I was decreasing. I was decreasing. My finances were decreasing. I was getting squeezed and squeezed financially. When I started tithing there, I had a lot more command of money. When after a while of tithing there, 1 year, 2 years, I was decreasing instead of increasing. But still my religion told me, no, you tithe in your church. So I continue tithing in my church faithfully. I'm trying to tell you that the things I'm telling you, I've learned through hard experience. Then after some time, I noticed that almost all the people in the church were broke or in debt. Actually, almost all the people there were indebted one way or the other. And eventually, including myself, even if I'm somebody who has hated debts almost all my life. But after being there, I started somehow being indebted. And why? Because the pastor believed in taking loans. The pastor said, no, take loans. Of course, in his business, he was always taking loans and what. So one day I actually prayed for him. I moved and prayed for him and said, by the end of this year, my pastor is going to be out of debt. And what happened? Something happened, miraculous, and he actually paid up a loan, which was in excess of 250 million. He paid it up miraculously. So he was not in debt any longer. But what did he do? He went and took another loan. Now, eventually, everybody in the church is... Because you get the grace that is on the pastor. I want you to know that when you tithe to a place, you get a grace that is on the pastor. If you don't like what you see, don't put your money there because you're connecting to it. Whether you like it or not, this is a spiritual principle. You cannot change it. You see, people think that spiritual principles are there to be changed. But everybody knows you don't jump off a building because there is a principle of gravity. And it will make you hit the ground. And you won't like that. So you don't jump off a building. You don't box a wall because you know that there is a principle, natural principle, of action and reaction. If your action is a punch on the wall will react back with the same power and you'll end up with blisters on your hands. So nobody knows, people know not to punch a wall. So, but spiritual principles, people think you can circumvent it. Somehow it will not, you tell him, he says, yeah. But he somehow believes it's not going to work for him. It works for you whether you like it or not. So understand this, you will always get the grace that is on the pastor when you tithe under his ministry. Always. Remember that, always. Okay? Now, of course, there are some pastors who believe they can be stingy, mean with money, but have a church of generous people. Wrong. It cannot happen. eventually, even if somebody comes in there generous, if he gives, he will become stingy, because that's the grace that is on the leader. Okay? The anointing flows from the head, remember that, and goes downwards. So if the grace, and I'm putting that in quotes, which is on the pastor, is of stinginess, indebtedness and things like that, you will get it if you continue tithing there. People believe, some pastors believe you can be prayerless, but have a church of prayerful people. Wrong. I remember I was reading a book of somebody who really shaped my knowledge of the scripture and everything in my formative years, a man called Kenneth Hagin. I was reading a book of his, and he said he went to this church, and the pastor was telling him, how do I get the people to pray? And Kenneth Hagin looked at him and said, pray. And he said, excuse me? He said, pray. The only way you can get your people to pray is by praying. If the pastor is prayerful, eventually everybody in the church will be prayerful, because they pick on the grace that is on the leader. I want you to know that. So if you're in a church and you know what is, you're not comfortable with the grace, that don't continue to connect with it, because you'll get it whether you like it or not. Okay? So it's a spiritual law that cannot be circumvented. Remember that you attract what your spiritual leader has. And your tithe is the quickest way of getting it. So make sure that you want what you see before you go and connect with your money. Understand that. Now, I've told you, one word for wise man is enough. So, the first level of giving, I've told you, is tithe. Now, I've finished that. If you haven't understood it, just get this CD and listen to it again. And compare it with what the Bible says, not what you have been told, with what the Bible says. Because so many of the things that are being taught in church today are not scripturally correct. Some of them are actually totally in contravention to the Bible. But because they make sound logic, people teach them and people believe them. But the Bible is not a logical book. If it was a logical book, it would have been inspired by the biggest professor at the time it was written, maybe Socrates or Plato or somebody like that. But it is not a logical book. It is a spiritual book. That's why it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And spiritual sense is not logical sense. Spiritual sense is miles and miles and millennia far above logical sense. So if you want it to be logical, you're in serious trouble. If you want to believe what God says in His Word, believe it and see how it will work for you. Because God is faithful. His Word always works if you believe it. Of course, so tithe is the foundation. Find a good place to tithe. Find a grace that you want. Don't tithe out of religion, that this is my church. And you know that the person at the head is not walking in integrity, is taking debts, is not paying, is doing, you know, those things, is a mufere, and you continue tithing there. You're going to get that grace. Give it a few years and see if you won't be a mufere yourself. You will be, whether you like it or not. Eventually, if the pastor lacks integrity, you will be like that, whether you like it or not. Okay? So let's move on. Number two, what we've spoken about here, partnership offering. What Kenneth Copeland said. The story of Kenneth Copeland and T.L. Osborne. T.L. Osborne tells him, if you want to become rich, find somebody whom God has given a work that is beyond them financially, and connect with that person financially, and you'll be rich. It's just that simple. God gives a commission, and He expects people to connect with that commission, and those who move with God always get rich. Just know that. That one we've talked about, so you know. The third one we haven't really spoken about comes from Proverbs 3:9. From 3:5. And it says, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and all your ways acknowledge Him. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways and you direct your path. But it says in verse 9, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of your increase. So shall your barns be full and your vats overflow with fresh wine. All those verses. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Of the verses by which I live my life. Trust in the Lord, lean on Him, you direct your path, and all those things. Now, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of your increase. What does the first fruit of your increase mean? It means every time there is an increase in your life, the first batch of increase, Give it to God. Plant it in good seed. And you'll see how you'll increase very much faster. I'll give you an example. If you're having a job and you're earning 500,000, and let's say you get a promotion or you get another job and you get 1,000,000, get the 500,000, which is the increase from what you had, and give it to God for the first month. Okay? Then afterwards, of course, you can, the first fruit has been done with, then the next Saturday, where you can just give a tithe if you want or whatever. But that's the first fruit of your increase. And that's something that I totally believe in. And it creates an easy path for you to keep on increasing, keep on increasing. People who increase so fast are people who actually honor God with the first fruit of their increase. Then the fourth level of giving, which is really like the highest level, is when you get beyond tithe and offering, and now you start giving to God out of obedience. Okay, God knows He can count on you for something, so you're there, and God tells you, there is this person who is in need of this. Go and supply that need, because the person is praying to me right now. Go and be the answer to that prayer, and God can trust you to go and do that. But what gets people to that level? When people understand that they are stewards. You know, kingship is, a king owns everything. I'll give you an example. You imagine like the king of Buganda 150 years ago. Everything in the kingdom belongs to him, including the people belong to him. Okay, that's the best, that's the foundation of a kingdom. The king owns everything. The king's word is a law. Okay, every time something comes out of the mouth of a king, it's a law. The king gives to whomever he pleases. You understand? Everybody is a steward. So if you own a piece of land in the kingdom, you are just a steward. The king can take it away from you and give it to somebody else because he's king. So if the king, you please the king and he says, let's say you please the Kabaka, and he says, that time, of course, now it's different. Eh? That time, and he says, I've given you the whole of Bulemezi, the county of Bulemezi. As long as it comes out of the mouth of the king, Bulemezi is yours. All you need is a witness. The king doesn't have to sign anywhere. He doesn't sign somewhere that I've given so-and-so Bulemezi. He doesn't sign. You don't tell him to sign. He just says, and that's it. So all you need is a witness. Even if the king was drunk when he said it, it still counts. All you need is a witness to go to Bulemezi and tell all the landlords, Kabaka has spoken, this county belongs to me. And then they start paying to you busuru. Why? Because the king owns everything. Even your wife, if the king pleased, wanted your wife, you would get time, a token and what, and send her to the palace with gifts. Because that, you aren't to understand, that's the basis of kingdomship. Now, that's how the kingdom of God is not any different. Everything we have belongs to God, including us. The Bible says, okay, you are not your own, you are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body and your spirit, which are His. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, which are His. You belong to God, everything you have is His. Now, when you understand that and you start living as such, then God can trust you to say that, so-and-so, John, go and give that person this amount of money because he's praying to me and I want you to be the answer. Now, when you start being faithful in that, you are going to become rich beyond your wildest dreams, because when you're faithful in little, God keeps on increasing. Jesus Christ said that, okay, in the Gospel of Luke. I remember a story by, a man called Kenneth Copeland. You know, he said one day, and this thing really touched me when I heard it. He said that, God told him that, son, I want you to do me a favor. Then he said, what favor do you want, Lord? He said, there is somebody whom I promised $500,000, and the debt that I promised to give him is coming. So can you find that money and go and give it to that person before that debt? Now, Kenneth Copeland said all the money he had was $300,000. So he called his friends and he collected that money, and he got $500,000 and made sure he delivered it before the date that God promised. Okay? Now, that is high-level stewardship. So when you see somebody swimming in riches, don't get jealous. They've gone through a process. God is no respecter of persons. If you do the same, you'll get the same result. God does not respect persons. Doesn't matter the color, the what, nothing. God is God. So you people whom you see and admire have done things which you have refused to do. Why? Because you still own your salary, you still own yourself, you still own everything you have. And even when you give, okay, I've given tithe, now God, just leave this rest of money for me. Leave it for me. Of course, if you give, you still increase if you give your tithe in a good place. But not at the other level, because this level is stewardship. Okay? When God can count on you, you're a good steward. Okay? Small things. Maybe it is to give somebody 5,000 shillings, who is very broke. And, you might not have $300,000. You probably don't. But to give somebody you know, lunch by somebody. And somebody is hungry, he hasn't eaten in days, he's praying to God. Can God trust you to say, you know what, go and buy that person good lunch as an answer to his prayer? Okay, I remember one time I was in the hospital, I'd lost like a relative and I was going to the mortuary. And I passed by a man who was standing there, he had been burnt. I saw he had, you know, burn wounds, but I think he had been discharged. And the Lord told me that he's been discharged, but he doesn't have money to take him back to the village, transport money, take him back to the village. Can you go and give him that money? Go and give him money to take him back to the village. And, you know, moments like those, every time you obey an instruction like that, there is a big blessing attached, because you're proving that you're a good steward. Your money is not yours. Your money belongs to God. Now, God is not going to take your stewardship by force. You have to acknowledge that what I have belongs to God, and if he tells me to do something, I'll do it, because I'm just a steward. Everything he gives me is a steward. I'm just a steward of it, because even I myself belong to God. So if I belong to God, everything I have obviously belongs to God. And what does Jesus say in Luke 16:10? He who is faithful in what is least is faithful in much. He who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in what is much. Now, I think you might be there saying that, man, I'll give you an example. Let's say you have a salary of 200,000. And it's just enough to get by with nothing to spare. You just pay rent, food, transport, and a few household needs. You can't afford anything outside of luxury. So in your mind, you say, I really cannot afford to give even a tithe, because I genuinely cannot afford it. And when you look at your finances, you genuinely cannot afford to give 20,000 and remain with 180. Because when you've paid all your needs, you need more than 180. So you say, if God was to bless me with more than this, then I would give a tithe. I will tell you something, you will not give a tithe. Even if you had 2 million, you would still not give a tithe. Because Jesus, now you say, I would. You're trying to argue. If you think I'm wrong, then you're proving Jesus wrong. Because Jesus said, if you're faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. Okay? And you'll be trusted with much. That is the principle of stewardship. So, so you stay with your 200,000, and because you want to hang on to it, you remain on the Babylonian system. Yet if you actually took a leap of faith and said, you know what, I really cannot afford to even tithe, but I'm going to start tithing, suddenly you realize that actually it's getting, even the 180,000 that you're getting is probably doing more than the 200,000 was doing, because you're slowly getting off the system of Babylon. And the first step going out of Babylon into the world of godly abundance is tithe. That's the first step. So stewardship, what does Jesus say about stewards? You remember this, the story of the talents? One guy given 5, one given 2, one given 1. At the end of the day, the guy with 5 makes 10. Then this one with 1 made nothing. What does Jesus say? Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Why does he say that? Because those who do not have, often do not have because there are certain things they are not doing. And those who have, often have because there are things they are doing. And as long as they continue doing, they will continue having. But you see, people think that you can become prosperous by praying. It is not going to happen. God has laid it out in the Bible. Unless you're praying to another God. But to the God that we believe in, it is not going to happen through prayer. The prosperity has a way that God has set it out. And it is clearly laid out in his scriptures. Okay? And the law of sowing and reaping does not respond to need. It responds to seed. So just because you are in a bigger need than me, doesn't mean you're going to get an abundance. You might be starving and I might be having more than enough, but I will get more and you will continue starving because you didn't sow. You cannot reap what you didn't sow. I mean, you cannot go and pray. I mean, I told you, think like a farmer. Can a farmer go and look at a piece of ground where he has not put any seed and fast and pray that it produces beans? He knows he's not that stupid. He knows it will not produce beans. So people are on prayer mountains, fasting, praying, crying, some of them even cursing God. And what?
Why? That because they are broke. Why? Because they have refused to follow the laws of God, and you end up cursing God. Yet if you just took one step of faith and said, God, I've seen this in your word, and I am going to stand in faith and believe in you, that you are going to supply my needs. Say those words and say, God, I'm giving this because I believe. You know I need it. You know I could use this money for something else. You know I actually need this money. But because I believe in your word, I am giving it because I believe you are going to supply my needs. And give it in good ground. And see if you will not stop crying to God about financially. God, now this, now that. Then you're in your prayer mountain, fasting, what? You know, carrying all sorts of financial burdens. And simply because somebody doesn't want to follow the what? The principles of sowing and leave and reaping. Now move on and tell you, because I have to end this thing today. And next week we start on a totally different subject. See in Revelation. But I'm going to talk exclusively, by the way, about the false prophet. And that's a very big lesson, because so many people in the church have been moving away. I mean, I've been talking about this unity of faith and what, you know, and you know, going towards. So I want to make certain things clear so that you come out of Babylon also in that area. Now I'm telling you to come out of Babylon financially, and this ends today. I know some people don't want to hear this message, but of course they want to prosper. But now next week we'll go into the real end time stuff that you, I'm sure so many people want. But this was necessary, and no amount of you thinking it isn't was going to make me not preach it, because the Holy Spirit was leading me to preach it. Now, levels of prosperity. I remember some time ago, long time ago, I was in Kamoche, and there's this pastor who was collecting money for Mabati to build a church. And man, the people were bringing money in, you know, in trickles of money, like drops, eh? small money, then they collect, then they, after how many Sundays, they announce now they have money to buy one Mabati. Now we are left with 59. Then, I mean, it was a real struggle. Then, about the same time, I'm talking 93, I think, 93, 94, then Maurice Serulo came here to Kampala and had a big conference, which was at the Freedom Square at Makerere University. And what happens, there was a guy preaching called Tunde Bakare, who is a Nigerian. So he was preaching about prosperity and tells people to come who can give ₦1,000,000. And you know, who have it, who have ₦1,000,000 and can give it. Don't come by faith. What? Just come if you have the money. And you can bring it tomorrow. So people go there. Quite a number of people go there to give ₦1,000,000. And now this pastor, who was collecting money for Babati, which was coming in a trickle, sees one of his church members going ahead to give ₦1,000,000 to Maurice Serulo Ministry. Oh man, the man was furious. The man was absolutely livid. He said, how can you give money to those people who don't need it? Yet for us, we need it here in church to build a church, and you are not giving it to us. And at the time, I also thought, man, that is not good. I mean, really, if the lady prays in that church and she has ₦1,000,000, why? Because ₦1,000,000, by then, 1993, would have sorted all that Mabati and even more. It was, I mean, ₦1,000,000 in 1993 was an amount of money. It was colossal. So, actually, I believe at the time, $1 was about 600 shillings to $1 at the time. 600 Uganda shillings to $1. So, 600,000 or 700,000 to $1. So now I said, why is this lady doing this? Why didn't she give the money where it is needed? And it didn't make sense to me. Then I had another time a story. I don't know if this one is true, because it sounds so, I mean, superfluous. You know those stories which sound like, you know, coming out of a movie script. But there's this guy apparently went and preached in Korea and did some powerful things and prayed for some people, and there's this lady who was so touched by his ministry, and she wanted to, an old lady, a really old lady, late in her 80s, and she wanted to give him $1,000,000. So she told him, come tomorrow, for I will sign for you a check of $1,000,000, then come the day after. Then when she got to signing the money, just before she signed it, she died. And the people who took over her estate were not interested in giving this pastor money. So he lost out. So he came to Kampala cursing if the lady hadn't died and what. But let me tell you something. There are levels of prosperity. If you've not reached the level of $1,000,000, nobody is going to give it to you. They will die before they give it to you. But you see, people want to cheat exams. Eh? So you think, people who get $1 million have done something to get there. You understand? Don't just believe you're going to wake up tomorrow and somebody gives you. It's not going to happen. Even if you're in business and you're believing God for prosperity, it's going to come in levels. Don't try to force it. It's going to come in levels. There's going to come a time when you're doing businesses of millions of dollars. But you can't come from a capital of 20 million and say that 1 month later you're into millions of dollars. It's not going to happen. Go at God's pace. You will get there eventually, because God is in control if you do the things that God says. So the book, Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, says, do not get weary of so. It actually talks about, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Then it says that whosoever sows, okay, reaps. Those who sow into the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, and those who sow spiritually with the spirit reap eternal life. Eternal life means Zoe, means the life of God, the good life that you want to lead in every way, health, wealth, abundance. Then it goes on to say that, do not get weary of doing good, meaning of sowing, because in due season you reap, okay? In due season, you reap. Now I want you to know that there is a season. You don't start sowing today and you get tomorrow. Even a farmer knows there is a season. Seasons come and you wait for a season because you sowed, and when the season comes, you reap. Okay, you cannot cheat the exams. If the season hasn't come, you're not going to reap. So people, the biggest problem people have is, I sowed the seed yesterday and I didn't get 1 week has passed and I've not yet got what? A harvest. Oh, please. I mean, that's not how things work. Be continuous. Be faithful. If you've decided to give a partnership, be faithful. Make sure you give faithfully every period of time that you promise to give. Make sure everything is done faithfully. In due season, there will be a season for reaping. And what does the Bible say in Ecclesiastes? Some scripture I want to read for you in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I'll read from verse 1. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. So I told you, everything that you sow does not get out of your life. It just revolves and comes back in your life later when it's in form of an increase. Then he says, give a serving to 7 and also to 8, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. I want you to remember that. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. If a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall be. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Now listen to this. When the clouds are full of rain, they empty water on the earth. Okay? But the clouds don't get full of rain immediately. Now every seed that you sow in good ground, you're adding to the clouds in your sky. You understand? There is going to come a time when your clouds are so full, and then it starts raining, you know, increase for you, and you will actually be overwhelmed by it. Because that's what happens in rainy season. The water that falls to the ground comes from the ground. There is a cycle. The amount of water does not change. Okay? It's called the hydronical cycle, whatever cycle, which scientists believe they discovered, but it's actually in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's in the Bible. One of many things which scientists claim they discovered, but it's actually in the Bible. Now, that when you give, going upwards, everything you give is clouds gathering. And the Bible says, when the clouds are full, it will rain. And rain is a symbol of abundance. Okay? So be faithful in sowing. Continue sowing. Eventually, a time is going to come when it rains in your life. And people see you and they wonder what happened. But actually, it is a result of continuous giving. And you continually give. Even make yourself uncomfortable because you're giving, then a time will come when the rain has to come. The water does not go up and stays in the sky. It has to come down. Then it says, when a tree falls in a place, where it falls, there it will stay. In Uganda, they say, atari watagwiramuti, meaning that if you're not there and they serve food, you're not there. So you lose out on the benefit. But here, it's almost the same proverb, which says the tree will fall in that direction. Okay? Where, you know, there has been whatever. So when a tree falls in your direction, it will be there. It's not going to leave. Because you've been sowing, one day a tree falls in your direction, and that is a good thing, not a bad thing. Just like when they say atari watagwiramuti, it means it's a good thing. When it falls there, the increase will come. So you have to do not grow weary, Galatians 6 says. Not grow weary. Just continue doing what God has said in faith, and continue believing him that his word does not fail ever, because he is God. Okay? Now those two pastors
So there are levels of receiving also. When you are at level one, you cannot receive a seed. You cannot receive let's say a seed or even a promotion or a breakthrough of level five. You receive what is at your level. But if you continue giving, you will get to higher and higher levels. So those pastors were trying to cheat exams. If you are not at the level of receiving 1 million shillings, you've never even sold 5,000 shillings in your life, and you think you're going to receive 1 million. It is not going to happen. You cannot cheat the exams. These are spiritual laws. So just go at your level. Okay? Kenneth Copeland once did not have $10 and had to pray to God that, God, you said you provide seed for the sower. I want to sow into the ministry of Oral Roberts, but I don't have the $10. And God miraculously provided the $10 for the woman who was seated behind him. Said, hey, I believe God wants me to give you this money. And he sold the money, $10. Now I told you of one of the people whose ministry he supports is Reinhard Bonnke and his crusades in Africa. $1 million a month. He probably gives out in all about $30 million a month. You imagine that. $30 million a month of giving out. But it started with $10. But it goes at levels. Faithful at $10, faithful at $50, faithful at $1,000, until you get to a level, because he who is faithful in little will be faithful in a lot, according to Jesus. If you have another theory, that's up to you. Okay, so don't try to cheat the system. Money has levels. Money has levels. Everything has levels. Okay? True prosperity is not forced. Now, let me explain to you what prosperity is. Prosperity is not living beyond your grace. Okay? Prosperity is not forced. People have versions of prosperity where they are driving good cars and what, but they are totally indebted and they don't answer for calls, they don't do what. That is not prosperity. Because you cannot, that is sorrow. That's what the Bible calls sorrow. And the Bible says that God does not add sorrow to his what? To his blessing. Sorrow means toil, debt, unhappiness. So if you are dodging calls, doing what, and doing all those things, you are not yet in godly prosperity. Because, and yet you can find somebody who has nothing, who walks to work, is better than you. Why? Because within his means, he's comfortable. There is comfort. Godly prosperity comes with comfort. So let's say one day you were walking to work, then you get an increase. Then you start taking a taxi to work. But you never fail to have money for a taxi. You always have money for a taxi and you're comfortable. You always have enough to meet your needs at your level. That is prosperity. Okay? That is prosperity. Now, if you continue believing God and sowing, then you get from that level to another level, let's say, of driving your own car. But if God gives you the car at his time, you will never fail to sustain the car. You always have enough money to fuel it, to service it. It does not become a burden to you. If you have a car and it's a burden, that is not godly prosperity. It is you trying to cheat exams to go to a level where you're not. When God gives you the car, it will come with the provision thereof. And you, the same way you had comfort in a taxi, you'll have comfort in your car. Then maybe comfort even a better car, and until it goes to levels, until you get to people like the guy I've been telling you about, who flies his private jet out of his compound. He has an airstrip in his house. So he flies straight home and comes out and walks into his house from there, whatever. But yet he's comfortable there because he went at God's pace. God does not, when you go at God's pace, you will always have comfort. So, but you see, people are being taught that prosperity means park a powerful car outside. So you go and do everything, even craft things, cheat people, just because you want to show that you're prosperous. And then it brings you toil. Brings you unhappiness, discomfort. You're not picking cause and what. That is not good, the prosperity. Okay? What does the Bible says? A faithful man will abound with blessings. But he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. You understand? Proverbs 28:20. That's where I read that scripture from. So go at God's peace, at God's pace rather. Do not try to cheat exams. Do not try to move faster than God. Move at the pace of God. Trust him at every level. At every level, give what you're capable of. Every time you're going up a level, God will ask you to give something that is going to squeeze you a bit. If you obey, then you go to a higher level. And at that higher level, you will still have comfort. You will always have comfort. You will never be out of comfort. You see, people believe that, you know, the worldly people know that money is spiritual. But you see, the people of God don't know that money is spiritual. They think you can wake up tomorrow and you've done nothing and you get $1 million. Some people have done those things and they end up dying because they were not at that level. They were not at that level. Something happened, you hit a, you know, maybe something, maybe even what? Then suddenly you have $1 million. It will kill you if you're not ready for it. But if you go at God's pace, you can have as many as you want and you'll be comfortable. You'll still be a man of God and you'll still be going to heaven. And God will know that even if I give this guy trillions of dollars, I will still see him in heaven because he's been grounded. He cannot be, I mean, money is not going to start making decisions for him. He still trusts me. And the way he trusted me when he had $10 is the same way he trusts me now. Okay? That's like a true parent. That's how God operates. I mean, if you have a child going to boarding school in S1, you are not going to give them pocket money of 5 million shillings, even if you have it, unless you're stupid. Okay? Why? He's not ready for 5 million shillings. So God is a parent. Understand that. He will knows when you're ready for the next level. And he will give it to you knowing there's going to come a time in that child's life when you can give him even $5 million and it's not going to spoil him. But in S1, if you give him 5 million shillings, it's going to turn him around. You're going to ruin his education and what? All because you're doing something that is right but at the wrong time. I want you to understand this. So, God has levels. If you're not at the level of 5 million, if you're not at the level of 1 million, you will kusonda mabati for 6 months to buy one piece of iron sheet. And then one of your flock members is going to give 1 million to somebody else. Why? That person has sowed and is at the level of reaping millions. Now, if you haven't sowed, you are not going to manipulate yourself. Even if you do it once, it will not happen again. You're not going to manipulate yourself to a level that you are not at. So, there's only one thing. Go, begin the sowing with the giving lifestyle. Walk in the lifestyle. The reason I told the other time that do not respond to needs. We are doing this, we are doing this. God does not have needs. Somebody asked me that question. That, you know, if they are building at my church, shouldn't I give? I said you should give whether they are building or not. That's why it's not right to tie giving to building. So when they finish building, you stop giving? No. You give out of a lifestyle, out of continuous faith, out of knowing I have not gotten all that I need, and God still has more for me, so I'm going to sow and continue getting. Finally, as I finish this, prosperity and love. Now this is the end of all this prosperity thing. Everything about God is appropriated through love, because God is love. I have had people teaching about your enemies, and you know, God is going to confound your enemies. God is going to watch. If you do this, your enemies will watch. Who are your enemies? I don't know where Barokore get these teachings from. Where do you get that teaching from? I have only one enemy, and that is the devil and his demons. If somebody doesn't like me, he's not my enemy. I'm his enemy. But for me, I have no enemies. So if you tell me, I don't have any, none, zero. Me, I walk in love. I love people. Even those who hate me, I love them. That is God. Now, if somebody is telling you, where do people get those teachings from? I mean, people go and get scriptures from the Old Testament and bring them to the New Testament, and they don't understand things have changed in between. John, when he went with Jesus Christ to a place and they were not received, John says, shall we now call fire to burn them like, you know, the prophet Elisha did? Then Jesus rebuked him and told him that you don't understand the spirit that you are of. I did not come to destroy people. For us, we have a spirit of love. Even if somebody does not receive you, love. The New Testament is best love. That thing of, you know, call fire to burn them and what. That is not of God. Not of the God after Jesus Christ. Okay? Because, of course, they are covenants. It's the same God, but they are different covenants by which God deals with people. Now, the covenant of grace, that thing, Jesus rebuked John and says, you do not understand the spirit that you're of. Now, if you start telling me those things of Abalabewa, who is Mulabewa? I don't have any, by the way. None. Me, I walk in love. If the person doesn't like me, then I am his enemy, but he is not my enemy. Because for me, I love him, whether he likes it or not. Now, if you separate, if you want to be prosperous for the wrong motives, to go and prove to some people that you're all that and everything. You will never separate God from motives. Never try to separate God from motives. Even the best things done with the wrong motive do not register with God. God cares about why you are doing things, not just what you're doing. Why are you doing it? Okay? That's why, if I come here and tell you about prosperity, it's not because I want you to give me money. No, I want you to know what I know. Now, if you give me money, that's your business. Have I even asked for it all the three times? I haven't. No, but now you know. God cannot be separated from motives. Don't think that because everybody is impressed by what you're doing, and if you're doing it for a wrong motive, that even God is going to be impressed. He will not, because for him, he sees your heart. Anyway, I have to end it here now. Thank you so much for joining us. Next time I come here, we're talking about something else. These three messages, if you haven't received them, just get a CD of them and listen to them. They will transform your life. God bless you.
That was The Watchman with fascinating insight into the end times. Join us again next week for another update on Bible prophecy.